live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to the Todd Herman Show.
Some thoughts on those angry voters. Ask parents of any two-year-old and they can tell you about those temper tantrums. The stomping feet, the rolling eyes, the screaming. Imagine a nation full of uncontrolled two-year-old rage. The voters had a temper tantrum last week. Parenting and governing don't have to be dirty words. The nation can't be run by an angry two-year-old.
That's funny. Peter Jennings taking everybody to task. Wonder what Peter Jennings would have said about the, you know, the stuff that didn't happen, where there was no burning of American cities, and anyone who thinks that's a right-wing lunatic. I wonder. All right. I just have to because I have to. I got it. When you were a little kid, did you ever get yourself trapped in a lie that you realized everybody knows? I'm selling this thing. You know, I mean, I guess it can happen as a teen. You know, I'm sick and I can't come to work. And you know, in your heart, you're not that sick and you can go to, or worse, like you wake up late. You're looking at the clock. Oh, I'm not going to make it to work. Call the boss. Hello. My aunt died. I just got the call. Same aunt as last week? No. Just a different aunt. I'm having a rough patch. It's our sinful nature to lie. And on this day, the Lord has made, and these times to which God has decided we shall live. It's not my job to say, oh, I'm perfect, and that particular sin is not one I've ever indulged in. Of course I have, and so have you. But when you're a little kid, and by the way, this relates. I promise this isn't a personal order. It relates to the news. It just does. You're seeing CNN is all of a sudden, they've launched an investigation into what happened with Kyle Rittenhouse. They have a piece running. It's like a four-minute piece that they've learned that, in fact, Kyle Rittenhouse didn't bring the rifle across state lines, and that they've learned all these things. And, wow, some of these guys had some questionable backgrounds. They're trying to dig out. But it's this New York Times thing that just gets me. The charitable view of the people still carrying out the COVID hoax, the charitable view, is that they're so committed to the lie that they can't just get themselves out of it. And I was just remembering when I worked in the government schools. It's the same thing. It's this note on Twitter. This is the note. It's to the New York Times advice column. Help! The kids are coming inside! If our child 9 and a cousin 10 have each received one dose of the vaccine 2 weeks prior to Thanksgiving, is it safe for us to eat indoors? There'll be about 20 guests, all vaccinated, and the 65 and older crowd have all received boosters. Help us! Oh, Julie Lewis from San Francisco. And I'll read the response here in a second, but I'm reminded of working in the government schools, and this little boy got in trouble and he got brought to my room. I was the discipline coordinator and he was lying. And I was saying to him, Colvin, why did you hit this boy? Why'd you go after him with a pencil? Because you're trying to stab him with a pencil. Why were you trying to stab him with a pencil? What went on? What happened? And Colvin told me with a straight face, he had a machete. He's in second grade. I said, a machete? Yeah, Michael had a machete. He was chasing me with a machete. Like, what's a machete? It's a big knife. And he makes his hands real big. It's a big, big knife. Yes, that's what a machete is. Colvin, are you sure he had a machete? Yes. What color was it? Blue. The blade was blue? Yes. Colvin, are you sure? Yes. Show me how big this is again. And he makes a, you know, uses his hands to indicate the machete was half his body size. Colvin, where did Michael hide that? Because he's wearing shorts at school today. He's sitting out there. The boy's wearing shorts. In his shorts, he hid a blue-bladed machete in his shorts. Do you think it's in his shorts now? Colvin, are you lying? No. He threw it in the river. He threw the blue-bladed machete in the... So that boy, that second grader, took a blue-bladed machete half his body length, and he launched it. He threw it over the 15-foot safety fence, and the remaining 30 feet into the Jordan River. Right? Yes. Do you think it's still there? Yes. Colvin, this is very serious. Are you lying to me? No. All right. All right. So I reach over to the desk phone and I dial our SOR or SRO, school resource officer. His name was Charlie. Great guy. Grew up in the neighborhood. Knew everybody. Charlie picks up. I have it on the headset. Hey, I'm going to put you on speakerphone for a very good reason here. Got me? Yep, got you. Put him on speakerphone. Hey, Officer Gibbons, I got young Colvin in my my office here. Very serious circumstance, officer. Colvin explained to me that Michael has was threatening him with a 3 foot long or 2.5 foot long machete with a blue blade that he hid in his shorts and then threw it over our 15-foot safety fence, and it flew 30 feet across the weeds there and landed in the Jordan River. So I'm going to need that as evidence because this is really bad. Can we get some divers? Yeah, Todd. First of all, is Colvin there? Oh, yeah, Colvin's sitting right here. Well, Colvin, this happened, son?
Yes. Yes, it happened.
All right, Todd, listen. This is going to be really bad. I'm going to send a dive team out and then a couple of helicopters. Charlie, I think we got a problem here. I might need you to come over and visit with Colvin.
He's gonna put me in prison.
All right, Todd, I'll be right over. Hang up the phone. Colvin, you weren't telling the truth.
I didn't know you were gonna bring helicopters.
He put it on me. It was my fault. That's our sinful nature, right? So wait till you hear, oh my goodness. Wait till you hear the New York Times response to Julie Lewis from San Francisco, who's dying of panic because there's going to be some kids at her Thanksgiving party. New York Times, sticking to the lie. Get to that if we check traffic at the right way traffic. So here's the note. Help, the kids are coming. Julie Lewis from San Francisco writes to the New York Times. If our child and a cousin, 10, each have received one dose of the vaccine 2 weeks prior to Thanksgiving, is it safe for us to eat indoors? There will be about 20 guests all vaccinated, and the 65 and older crowd have all received boosters. We need your help. New York Times.
Well, I'm glad to hear that the children and guests are all vaccinated. As the kids will not be fully vaccinated until 2 weeks after the second shot. I think some care is warranted, especially because some of the attendees are 65 and older, therefore more serious risk of breakthrough infection.
You can have the kids wear masks, eat quickly, and then stay outside!
Dear New York Times, I'm calling a helicopter. I'm bringing in the mathematicians. And we're going to come to your offices. And we're going to look at your books. And I'm going to find out what you knew and when you knew it. For instance, you got to know that there's more COVID deaths in the United States in 2021 than there were in 2020. Even though you got the magic mRNA injections. And you got to know, because the dude used to work for you, that Alex Berenson, using raw British data, you can look at the data yourself, New York Times. You can examine it. You can check the math. People in the UK for 6 months, English people, have been twice as many dying from all-cause mortality when they've been injected versus the people who've not been injected. That's happening. That's just numbers. English adults under 60 are dying at twice the rate of so-called unvaccinated people of the same age. That's numbers. It's mathematical. You can check it yourself. I'm bringing a helicopter. I'm calling Officer Gibbons. See, okay, I'm being careful. Incidentally, did I mention Wednesday, 7 o'clock hour? Second hour of a podcast. Please join live if you can. We're going to be talking about the future of the radio show and podcasting. Please join us. I want to explore an idea, but I don't know if I want to explore the idea. The New York Times and the Mockingbirds, in my judgment, have contributed. I don't know that it's murder, but it's killing people. And they cannot possibly be unaware of the data. If I were to come on this radio program and say to you, and guise it in truth and say to you, to save your life from the COVID, you should ingest gasoline. And if I were to come to you and say, I've read a study, and that study indicates that just one cup of gasoline, and that's hard to drink, okay? Really hard. You can water it down. So take your cup of gasoline and water it down, say, with, don't use milk, but like grape juice. Just to pick a juice. Like grape Kool-Aid. Let's say that, grape Kool-Aid. And pour gasoline in the grape Kool-Aid. Let's say it's one cup of gasoline for, let's say, three cups of grape Kool-Aid. Put sugar in it, fine. Be easier to swallow. But drink it all, just guzzle it. And that will protect you from the COVID flu. If I said that, and a person went and did it, and the person died, I should be suable. That's a dangerous
thing to ponder. Because it speaks to press freedom. Speaks to freedom of speech. But if I said that, and you could prove I knew it was a lie, because clearly drinking gasoline is a terrible idea. It can kill you. Don't ever do it. If you could prove that I knew that was a lie, and yet I sold it so hard that people went and did it. Let's say I just did it every day. Just every day. Remember, let's say that I invented things. Like, non-gasoline drinkers are dying at a higher rate. Well, that would be easy to sell with data. All right, so let me ask this question. How come we're not seeing people in the hospitals who've drunk the gasoline? Tell me that. Where's the gasoline drinkers in the COVID deaths? Why is that? If it doesn't work, then how come you never see... You never see in these results what percentage of people drunk the gasoline? Well, fortunately, most people are smart enough to think you're an idiot. I'm not drinking gasoline, but that would be the statistics. I could play that game with the statistics. And then let's say someone is stupid enough to drink the gasoline and it gets reported by the media and they point it back to me and I can say, wait a minute. You're going to use one case? You're coming at me with one case? How do you know it was gasoline that killed him? You did an autopsy? See, what the Times is doing in remaining married to the narrative, it's resulting in large-scale death and suicides and injuries. And it is not possible for them to not know these things. And it's sort of chilling to think about being able to sue them for that. And it's also very chilling to know that they're going to continue to do it. It's not like we've got freedom of speech anymore. There's a cop who lost his job because he donated to the Kyle Rittenhouse Defense Fund. He's seeking his job back now. He's Virginia-based cop.
It was a really good career choice for me.
For 19 years, William Kelly called the Norfolk Police Department home.
It was great. It's a great organization. There's great people.
He went from beat cop to a lieutenant in internal affairs. His career ended April 19th.
Breaking here in Hampton Roads, a high-ranking Norfolk police officer who...
It was unreal. I became a police officer when I was 22 years old. It's all I've ever known. And it was life-changing.
Kelly was fired for giving money to Kyle Rittenhouse's defense fund. Rittenhouse is accused of killing two Black Lives Matter protesters last year. Kelly's $25 donation was done anonymously through a crowdfunding site. His name surfaced after a data breach.
In my mind, I thought it was going to blow away. We have a 24-hour news cycle, and I thought that I'd come back to work the next week.
Kelly found himself in the national spotlight. His donation accompanied by these words, quote, "You've done nothing wrong. Every rank-and-file police officer supports you."
It was a simple donation, simple words of encouragement from one person to another.
But nothing about this was simple. The Norfolk city manager called the comments egregious.
I thought that my comments weren't egregious. I didn't think that they were terrible. I didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal.
Kelly has filed a grievance with the city to get his job back. He's now waiting to have his hearing.
Can you understand why someone would take offense to what you wrote?
I believe that in America, everyone is innocent until proven guilty. I think that there is a lot of video evidence that shows a case for self-defense. And
so that's,
I think that he should have his day in court.
Wavy TV out of Norfolk, and I can learn about that through Legal Insurrection. I love that little line from the reporter, but nothing about this is simple. Yes, it is. He gave money to a cause he believed in, to a young man who'd not been convicted of a thing and who's now been exonerated. It's absolutely simple. Simplest thing in the world. Freedom of speech. Freedom to give his money as he chooses. Freedom to take a side in a criminal trial. You're the one that's making it complicated. So I could be accused of thinking of a chilling idea being able to sue the New York Times for their role in manslaughter on a massive scale. But they go after cops like this? That's not the Times, but it's a media source. One more example of what we're told doesn't happen. A black person exonerated, found not guilty in another trial. And we've been tracking that all day because we're told it doesn't happen, only to Rittenhouse. We'll get to that and your text messages when we come back on the Todd Herman Show.
It's your turn to text the Todd Herman Show.
The rule's pretty simple.
Be concise, be precise, and drop the mic. 800-465-8770.
Yep, you can also email us, therman@ktth.com. This came in. Well, obviously, because I'm going to read it, that's a little bit of a filler word. This came in. It's like, go to the phones. I'm going to go to the phones now. I want to say that because I don't know what else I'm going to say. So go to the phones. Line three. Chuck Edmonds, longtime listener to the program. Thank you. Thank you, Chuck. I was telling a story of when I used to work in the government schools. A young boy named Colvin came to my attention that he'd been chasing a classmate with pencils, trying to stab the classmate. And then Colvin just unfolded this incredible story of the 2.5-foot blue-bladed machete that the student he was attacking somehow managed in second grade to throw over a 15-foot safety fence. And then it having achieved that height, then went 30 feet laterally into the Jordan River, where it landed and splashed down. And he was going to stick with that until I got the school resource officer to commit to sending two helicopters and some divers. And then he began to cry. I realized that, man, he's not going to let this go. I have to admit my lie. Chuck writes, oh, my Lord. Laughed my tail off so hard with the Colvin routine. I so needed a good belly laugh. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Chuck. Be with us all these years on this long and winding road together. And I hope, Chuck, you'll join us Wednesday in the 7 o'clock hour. We talk about the future of the show, and podcasts, etc. Please do try to do that. To the text line now, 800-465-8770. Chuck sent that via email. Crab Walker, a.k.a. Mark. Hey, Todd, on a personal note, I've been listening the past few months, but my schedule's changed, so I now catch you mostly on your podcast. I also have met a beautiful young lady and am falling for her, so life is good, my brother. I asked Crab last week, because I hadn't heard from him in a while, on the text line. I said, I hope you're well. Thank you for the update, and may God bless this union. And may God just steer you in that in the right way, Mark. Appreciate the note. California Highway Cop. The Rittenhouse trial is a psyop meant to divide us, meant to cause chaos. That's why he can believe in BLM, because it's part of the party. Now, you're not saying that Rittenhouse is a part of this, are you, California Highway Cop? Because I don't think Rittenhouse is an actor in this. I think Rittenhouse is an idealistic young man. And I think that Kyle Rittenhouse, well, I know he wanted to be a cop. I know he was in that training program. I know that's how he got his bulletproof vest. Someone taught him trigger discipline, and I'm going to guess it was cops. Someone shot him, taught him shooting skills, and I'm going to guess it was cops. So I think he went there being the guy that he wants to be in his heart, as he wants to be a peacekeeper and a protector of people. He wants to be, you know, he wants to be a protector of folks, sheepdog. And he was being that. Because remember, his whole role there, he was walking around saying, medic, medical, anyone need medical? And he was willing and able to render basic first aid to anybody. Now, the PSYOP part of this, absolutely. All of last year, beginning in March, was PSYOP material. All of it. It was all about Orange Man. I don't know what I'm going to do if President Trump runs again. And I'll tell you why. If Ron DeSantis is available, I might choose DeSantis. Now, hear me out. Want to know why? President Trump is still bragging about the vaccines, the mRNA injections, which aren't vaccines. I hope he understands, the president, President Trump, that when they can no longer contain the damage these things are doing, when they don't succeed in getting 100% of us shot up, so there's still, in our case, free bloods. I'm a free blood. That when the free bloods aren't dying at these enormously jacked up rates, when free bloods aren't suddenly developing myocarditis and thrombosis and these cancers in the same rate as the people who've been victimized by these injections, They're going to blame it on Trump. Watch the tune change.
Well, I did tell the president that accelerating the process of an untested technology like mRNA at such a speed was very risky. And I regret to say I bowed to the pressure that the president was exerting.
I'm Grim Milestone. Word from Washington, D.C. has the nation shocked. Healthcare experts warned then-President Trump that an accelerated approval process of the vaccines could lead to death. And now those reports are coming true with reports of cancers and heart attacks in previously healthy people. We go now live to Romicio Ramirez outside the offices of the CDC with CDC Director Rochelle Walensky.
Well, we knew at the time that we were risking lives playing Russian roulette, but the president wanted to play Russian roulette, and the pressure worked.
I hope that the people who know President Trump, who made the media, the Mockingbird media, unmask themselves. He forced their hand. President Trump's popularity, based upon his policies, forced their hands to accelerate the Great Reset, which began in March of last year. It allowed us, President Trump's actions allowed us to see with our own eyes what they're willing to do. Because the two candidates that were supposed to win, he was not the one. So we know about the FBI because of Donald Trump. We know about the CDC because of Donald Trump. We know about the FDA because of Donald Trump. We know about how bad and how coordinated the Mockingbird media is because of Donald Trump. So we've already got him to thank for that. I hope that the people who surround him can get to him and say, Mr. President, these injections are not working, sir.
Malo Mossman. You spoke of more restrictions of kids in the government schools. Funny how a district in Oregon went to remote learning last week, December 7th. I'm not surprised that the slackers that are called teachers just tripled their Thanksgiving break. Yes. You know what else? In New York City, because of the COVID. Now, mind you, because of the flu. They're going to be taking Fridays off, as I understand it. It's going to be remote learning on Fridays. So the actual teaching week has become 4 days because of the flu, because taking Friday off will save all the people from the flu.
Gail from Olympia. Trans? Question mark. 1,000 years from now, if an archaeologist uncover the skeletal remains of, quote, trans women, they could get a pretty good idea of age, race, maybe cause of death. The one and only one thing that could be determined as a fact is that the remains belonged to a man.
Right. Magic word. Trans is a magic word. Say it. Watch professional shiny-shoed Republicans freeze.
They're incapable of saying, you know, I know that's a real deep feeling people hold. And I disagree that a man is a woman because of a deep feeling. Maybe there's some things we agree on. They're incapable of that because it requires a nuanced position. And it requires some vulnerability. I hate these conversations.
You sure have them a lot. No one else will.
I don't think anyone else in commercial media has these conversations. Well, I'd like to see you talk with a trans person. Well, I don't agree that there are such a thing. And I'll talk any day to someone who identifies as trans. Any day. And I'll use the name they choose, just not the gender. And I will do anything I can to try to find agreement. Starting with, I know that this is very important to you. And I feel really uncomfortable that I can't agree with this important feeling of yours. And I feel sad because I think it hurts you that people don't agree. I really dislike hurting people. And I'm really hoping that together we can find some things we agree on. Right. I'll start with this. I think we agree that no one here wants
anybody hurt. And sometimes honesty hurts. So maybe we can start with that. Maybe we could start with just one example. Like, my guilty pleasure is watching the same movies again and again. I've seen Tombstone probably 100 times. I like the Bourne movies, like when I'm feeling mindless. I just want to be entertained. When I want to just deeply explore ideas, I watch or read Russian fiction. What about you? What's your guilty pleasure? What's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in your life? Mine was my daughter being born. What about you? See, it's hard. Particularly for shiny shoes, because why do that when you can say, tax cuts? Right? We'll come back and wrap up the day with a personal note next on the Todd Herman Show.
Down on Main Street. Down on Main Street.
On a personal note today, I asked my one of my friends in the gym the other day if, upon hearing if he knew what it was, like, because it was sampled into song. It's sampled in all sorts of songs. He goes, no. He's a young guy. I don't know how old. I'm guessing 25, 26 years old. There's no reason for him to know Suzanne Vega's actual song. I picked this album up when it first came out. I just fell in love with this song. I didn't tell any of my friends because my big bands at the time were Aerosmith, Led Zeppelin, a little bit of the Stones. So I guess I was a little embarrassed to dig a song like this. It meant something to me then, means something to me now.
My name is Luca. I live on the second floor. I live upstairs from you. Yes, I think you've seen me before. If you hear something late at night, some kind of trouble, some kind of fight, just don't ask me what it was. Just don't ask me what it was. Just don't ask me what it was.
I think because I grew up around a social worker and a teacher, who are both vitally aware of what happens to kids in abusive circumstances. And because I grew up with a girl and a boy who had such circumstances and the great confusion that they were also friends of the family. And I remember being in the backyard when this stepfather became enraged at the boy. And he said, go get a hickory switch. Go get a hickory branch. Willow branch, pardon me, from the weeping willow. Whippo, willow. And he started to go, and his sister said, I'll go with you. And the dad said, make sure it's a good one. And the girl said, I will. And I was just, I couldn't believe it. And I said to her, why? And she said, if it's not a good one, he'll beat him with his hands or with a belt. So we went and got the switch, a willow. Took the branches and leaves off of it, and that man beat that boy bloody. And I remember asking the family, like, you guys say this is wrong. Why are we allowing this?
I think it's because I'm clumsy. I try not to talk too loud. Maybe it's because I'm crazy. I try not to act too proud. Only
the circumstance was this, that the birth family was worse. The birth family was worse. They dealt with it. We didn't get to watch. My father dealt with the man, his friend. And I learned later in the life that was where the friendship broke up. As my dad visited with him privately and said, if you ever, ever abuse a child in my sight again, I will end your life. And sometimes that's how stuff was dealt with in the day. Well, it worked. Because the kids moved out. The boy either jumped or fell from the Washington State Bridge when I was in 10th grade. He didn't fall. I've been inside that bridge. You have to walk to the edge. I was sitting with his sister when we read the news, and they used his name. It's a tough personal note. And the reason I bring it up is this. In the stressful times the party's installed in our life, this stuff is going on now, and it's not seen in schools. And so I'm going to beg you, don't let them stay silent. If you see something, ask a child. How are things at home? This has been the Todd Herman Show. Go be well, be strong, and be kind.